tonight, since tomorrow night we start asking for Geshem, we start saying the same Talmud Matar in Shmon Esrei. So I want to go through a little bit of the halachas of that and some of the hashkafa also of asking for rain and the significance of rain. First of all, if you forgot to say the same Talmud Matar, or even if you're not sure if you forgot to say it or not, and your doubt came either right away during Shmon Esrei or after Shmon Esrei immediately, but not a long time after. It, pretty much you had no doubts, and then all of a sudden, 15-20 minutes later, all of a sudden the doubt crept into your mind. That's probably because you're insecure and not because really you forgot. But had you forgotten, you would have remembered right away. Especially if you had in mind to say the same Talmud Matar, you reminded yourself mentally before you started Shmon Esrei or in the middle of Shmon Esrei, and then you're not sure, and the doubt that you're not sure didn't come till much later, then you can assume that you said it. If you had the doubt right away, then you can assume you didn't say it until either 30 days passed by and you had 90 Shmon Esreis, okay, in those 30 days, or you said the sentences with the same Talmud Matar 90 times, and then even though it's not sure if that helps or not, but it's enough of a suffix that you don't have to say anything again. So until 30 days after Zion Cheshvan, until Zion Kislev, I guess, it's not exact, but you're going to still, if you have a doubt, have to do the following. So if you remembered, before you finished the bracha, Mevorech Hashanim, you remember you didn't say the same Talmud Matar, then preferably you should go back and say the words of the same Talmud Matar and continue the bracha from there on. Repeat what you said already and continue it and finish the bracha. That's the easiest. If you finish the bracha, even if you didn't start the next bracha, you finished Mevorech Hashanim, and then you remember you said the same bracha instead of the same Talmud Matar. So then you should wait till Shema Koleinu, and you say the same Talmud Matar in Shema Koleinu. And you say it right before Ki Atah Shomei Tefillah Samcha Yisrael Barachamim. You say right there the same Talmud Matar Levracha Apnei Adama and Ki Atah Shomei. If it's a day where you have to say Aneinu in Shomea, in Shema Koleinu, then first you should say Aneinu. First you should say the same Talmud Matar, and then you should say Aneinu. Okay. If you said Baruch Atah Hashem of Shomea Tefillah, and then you remembered that you didn't say the same Talmud Matar, you didn't say Shomea Tefillah, you just said Baruch Atah Hashem. If you just said Baruch Atah, then you go back and say the same Talmud Matar, Ki Atah Shomea Tefillah Sam Kaiso Brachmin, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomea Tefillah. If you said Hashem already, you shouldn't finish the bracha. You should say Lamdeni Chukecha, and then go back, and what's it called, to the same Talmud Matar, and the Ki Atah Shomea Tefillah Sam Kaiso Brachmin, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomea Tefillah. If you already said the word Shomea Tefillah, or even if you said just the word Shomea, then you finish the bracha. If you haven't yet started Ritzeh, you say right there the same Talmud Matar before Ritzeh, between Shomea Tefillah and Ritzeh. If you already started Ritzeh, but you haven't yet said Yulu Ratzon before you take your three steps back, then in anywhere after Ritzeh, till the Yulu Ratzon, you go back to Borech Oleinu and say the whole Shmona Esrei from Borech Oleinu on. If you already said Yulu Ratzon and you haven't taken the three steps back, surely if you've already taken your three steps back, you have to say Shmona Esrei again. If you left out the same Talmud Matar, you have to say Shmona Esrei again. Okay? I'm not going to go over that because it probably won't make any difference to hear it a second time, but you heard it the first time. So you should, what's it called, either listen to the tape again or ask somebody remembered. But basically, if you remember before, after, most of the time what's normal is you remember after you finish the bracha of Mevorech Hashanim, then you should say it in Shomea Tefillah. If you forgot it in Shomea Tefillah, then if you haven't yet said Yulu Ratzon, you go back to Borech Oleinu. If you already said Yulu Ratzon, the second one, then you go back to the beginning of Shmon Esrei. That's more or less in a nutshell. Okay, how about people going to Chutz Laretz before December 4th or 5th or whatever? So somebody who lives here in Eretz Yisrael and is visiting in Chutz La'aretz, in the time now when we're saying the same Talmud Matar and they're saying the same Bracha, so there are various opinions what you do. Some say that if your intention is to come back within a year, then you do like Eretz Yisrael, and there you say they're the same Talmud Matar. But if you're not going to come back, you're going to stay there for more than that, then you say like them. You don't say the same Talmud Matar. Others say it has nothing to do with the year. It has to do if you plan to come back while they're still saying the same Talmud Matar. Then the halacha is that you still consider you still say the same Talmud Matar. Others say that wherever you are, you say like the people there. You go to Chutz La'aretz, you say the same bracha. You come back to Eretz Yisrael, you say the same Talmud Matar, and the same goes for somebody who comes from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, should say also the same Talmud Matar. And when he's in Chutz La'aretz, says the same bracha. That's another opinion. And from what I see now, I think Rav Yosher holds like that. But I say that's not what we do. What we do is the following: if you're going to leave to Chutz La'aretz before tomorrow night, tomorrow, somebody, anybody's leaving tomorrow, before you start saying the same Talmud Matar, then they should not say the same Talmud Matar in Baruch Aleinu. They should say the same bracha, and in Shema Koleinu they should say the same Talmud Matar. If you're going to be a shliach tzibur, you should say what the tzibur is saying, no matter what. And your own private Shemon Esrei, you should do say the same Talmud Matar in Shema Koleinu and the same bracha in Baruch Aleinu. If you're leaving after tomorrow night, you already started asking for rain here, then you don't stop. And you say the same Talmud Matar, even in Chutz La'aretz, unless you're the Shliach Tzibur, then your private Shemon Esrei, you say the same Talmud Matar, and when you have say Chazar HaSashat, you say the same Bracha. And somebody who comes from Chutz La'aretz here should say the same Talmud Matar while he's here. Because while he's here, he needs rain. Okay. So that's pretty much the halacha of somebody traveling there or here until December, I think it's December 4th this year, when they start saying the same Talmud Matar and Chutz La'aretz also. Okay, now the reasons for that. Why do we say the same Talmud Matar tomorrow night? L'chara would make more sense. We should have said it already on Shemini Atzeres. Just like we started saying Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGoshem on Shemini Atzeres, we should start asking for rain too. Mashiv HaRuach is not asking for rain. It's mentioning Gvuros Geshom. It's mentioning the fact that the Rabbanu Shalom has the power, brings rain with power. So we're not asking for rain, we're just mentioning it. But you mention it only close to the time that you ask for it. And you stop mentioning it after you stop asking for it. But why don't we ask at the same time that we mention? From Sukkot and on, we need rain. We don't want to ask for rain during Sukkot because it's not a Simen Bracha because of the Mitzvah Sukkah. But Shemini Atzeres is no more Mitzvah Sukkah, so then we start asking for rain. So why don't we start mentioning rain? Why don't we ask for rain then? So basically, what we hold from the Gemara says a few reasons. But one of the reasons is that Olei Regalim, people who came from Chutz La'aretz for Sukkot to Mekayim the Mitzvah Aliyah L'Rego, the latest ones took 2 weeks to get home, to really get over the Nar Pras, over the Euphrates to get home, usually going to Bavel. And therefore, you don't want that they should have difficulties, what's it called, there'll be raining on them when they go home. Let them go home in peace. And therefore, we don't ask for rain until the last of the Olei Regalim goes back home. Some say, therefore, Bizman Hazeh, we should ask for rain immediately on Shemini Atzeres. There's no more Lelili Rego. There's no Beis HaMikdash. But halachically, we do still wait those 2 weeks because there are Olei Rego. Even though there's no official Chiyuv of Aliyah the Rego, there is an Inyan, and there always was a minig for people to come Dafka to Eretz Yisrael for Sholosh Regalim, and to Mekayim, whatever they could, of Aliyah the Rego, to get as close as you could to the Makom HaMikdash. And therefore, since Lamaisa, people do come, so there's still an Indian of what's it called waiting 2 weeks until they get home. So that's pretty much the halacha. Because it's not so clear, and there is an opinion that says you start asking immediately after Shemini Atzeres, if tomorrow morning, by mistake, you said the same Talmud Matar, or any time since Shemini Atzeres, you said the same Talmud Matar, you don't go back. You're Yotze Shemon Esri with that b'di'evit. Okay, that's the halacha. Just quickly, the hashkafa in Yonim here. The Chazal say a tremendous amount of things about the importance of rain. And how not only important it is physically, how important it is spiritually. The Gemara says that Geshomim are as great as Tchias HaMesim. A rainy day is as great as Tchias HaMesim, because it brings life to the vegetable world, the mice at least. It also brings life to the animal world, because without vegetables, no animals, and without water, there's no drinking. It also is as great as the day of Kibbutz Golias. It's great as Matan Torah. It's as great as the Yom HaBriah. It says Yeshua, salvation, part of a Ravaba. When it rains, it brings along with it Yeshua, what's it called, in a tremendous, prolific manner. And it also is considered like a Yom Hadin, and people's Averas are forgiven on a rainy day. So rainy days are pretty important. But why? What's so significant about rain? There's a Rashi that everybody speaks about, that gives a whole new perspective, first of all, on the need for rain. We normally think that the reason it rains is because the Rabban Shem created a world where vegetation needs rain. People have to drink water too. And without vegetation, there can't be any life, because there's no photosynthesis. So the Rabban Shem makes it rain because he created trees and plants that need rain. Rashi said just the opposite. When the world was created, it never rained. It didn't rain in the beginning. And the Rabban Shem provided for the plants and vegetation the aid yala min haaretz. There was a mist that came out of the earth that took care of the plants and vegetation. There was no need for rain until man was created. When man was created, he recognized the need for rain and he davened for it. Then rain came. Then the rain came in order for two things: that man should recognize the goodness of rain, and he should daven for it. Two things. Okay, meaning that it's not that it rain. We daven for rain because we need rain, and we need rain because that's how the Rabban Shem created the world. No, the Rabban Shem could have created the world in a way that there was no need for rain, that things would have been provided with a mist that would always be there and always make them like a worry-free battery. You don't have to add any water to the battery. It's there all the time, your car. Right? So same thing, there could be worry-free trees, that they would have had a water supply without the need for rain. It's not that because the Rabban Shem created the world with a need for rain, so now we daven for rain and we're makar tova for it. No, because people had to be makar tova for rain and daven for it, the Rabban Shem created a world where there was a need for rain. Because otherwise he could have created it differently. So it's not the cause is the effect, and the effect is the cause. Now what's the concept of that? These two things: recognizing the goodness of rain, and also the concept of having to daven for it. Not good enough just to recognize the goodness, you have to do something positive, active about it too. So I found the Medrash that I want to base this on. The Medrash says that there are three things sheshkulim, three things that are equal, and they are Adam, Eretz, and Mater. Right? Adam, Eretz, and Mater. What does that mean, that they're equal? It doesn't mean they're equally important. It means whenever Chazal say that things are shkulim, they don't mean they're equally important. They mean they're dependent one on the other. And because they're dependent one on the other, you can't have one without the other. Memela, they're equally important because of necessity, not because of in their intrinsic value. Okay, when it says tzitzis is equal to all the mitzvahs, doesn't mean that if you wear tzitzis like in Mekayim all the other mitzvahs, and it's equally important to Yom Kippur and to Shabbos or whatever. It doesn't mean that. What it means is you need the mitzvah of tzitzis to be able to do the other ones, because that's what reminds you. So the asiyas ha-mitzvahs depends on the mitzvah of tzitzis, so without it you wouldn't do all the other mitzvahs, so they're equally important, not intrinsically equally important, but lamaisa, they're equally important because you can't have one without the other.
But the mitzvah, that's not true. I mean, I don't go on thinking that I have mitzvahs on the mitzvahs.
No, but to do the mitzvahs properly, you should be doing that. And say, Yenikarami, you may remember them, but you will remember all the things it says in Parshas Tzitzis, how to do the mitzvahs properly and what they're supposed to lead to or whatever. And with the mitzvah of tzitzis that you see, it has that effect to make the mitzvahs the way they're supposed to be done. not stam to do them, that they should do them with kedusha, visam kedoshim, losos, all those things in parashat tzitzis come because of the tzitzis. Without that, the mitzvahs are like a goof without a neshama. Okay. The so those are the three things: motor, eretz, and adam. Now, the way I understand this is the following. Each of these things have another name. Matar is also called Geshem. Adam is also called Ish. And Aretz is also called Adama. So I want to say the following. That what's the difference between Adama and Eretz? One way of looking at it is Adama is the raw, what's it called? The raw earth. In its undeveloped state, that's Adama, right? It's the Chomer Gelim, the what's the Chomer Gelim?
Raw material.
Eretz is where you develop that Adama into something. Eretz, they say, has a lotion of Ratzon. It connotes what's it called, a certain will and design of taking that raw Adama and making it into a land with all the purposes that a land represents. So that could be one of the reasons why we make a bracha, Bori Priho Adama, on vegetables, yet on bread we say Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, not Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'adama. There are other reasons. But one, this, based on what I just told you now, it could be that vegetables most of the time are eaten either raw or with a minimal amount of cooking. That's all. The preparation is very simple. So you eat the vegetable straight out of the raw material of the Adama. Now, Shenkin Lechem is processed, refined. You don't eat it as a product of the raw material, you refine it. So that comes from Aretz, not from Adama. That's more related to Aretz, to something more refined than the raw material. Now, Adam in his raw state is called Adam. But he's supposed to develop himself into Ish. Ish means a master. Master of himself, a master of the world. That's Ish. It's interesting that women were never called Adama. Right, the chorus, that's what should have been. Right? Adam was Adam, and God called, and what's it called? Adam's called his wife, Isha, ki mei ish lukachazos. He should have called her Adama, because mei Adam lukachazos. Right? Some women taka are treated like that, but in any case, that's not their name. So why taka, does a woman never called Adama? Because a woman was taken from man when he already was developed as an ish. So she never had the raw material name, she only had the more sort of refined name. And he had both names, Adam, and the truth is that both male and female were called Adam. Adam is not the name of man. It was the name of man-woman to begin with. And then they were split into Ish and Isha. But Adam itself was the male and female together.
Was he Adam and Tzitzchak?
What?
He was Adam and Tzitzchak.
No. That's a name he gave her later after the Chet. Originally, they both were Adam. Vayikare Shmam Adam B'yom Hibarim. Tosuk says. He called their name Adam. And they were originally connected together. Adam and Chava were together, and they were called Adam. That was Adam. Then the Rabban Shem split them into Ish and Isha. From that Adam came Ish and Isha. And then later, Adam Harishon called his wife's specific name, Chava, her personal name, because she was Aim Kol Chai. But as what the species was, or I guess that's the species, gender, this was Ish and this was Isha. Okay, so that's Adam and Ish. And then there's Matar and Geshem. Matar, it's interesting, when we mention Gvuros Geshem, and we say Mashiv HaRuach or Morid HaGeshem or Goshem. We don't say Mashiv HaRuach or Morid HaMatar. Morid HaGeshem. When we ask for rain, we say the same Talu Matar, not the same Talu VaGeshem. So why, by mentioning rain, we say Geshem, and asking for rain, we say Matar? So Aruch HaShulchan says of Pshat, I'm going to say something similar to him, but not exactly. Geshem represents the rain in its formative state, where it's in the clouds, and it's, what's it called, it's Gashem. It materializes in the clouds, And I also want to say that it means Gesh Shom. The Rabban Shom as if says to the raindrops, go there. Directs them. So it's Geshem, and it's also His Gashmus. That's the Geshem is from the clouds in the sky, in the earth, in the sky. Matar is when it comes up Pnei HaAdama, when it reaches its goal, Matara. Matar means it reaches its destination and it hits the ground. That's Matar. So when we, the Aruch HaShulchan says very simply that when we mention Gevuros Kishon, where do you see the power of rain? When it falls from the sky, then it's powerful. When it's already on the ground, you don't see so much of the power of rain anymore. What do we want from rain? We don't really care if it's in the earth, in the sky. When we mention God's power of rain, we mention Geshem. When we ask for rain, we want the result. We want it on the ground so it does what it's supposed to do. So there we ask for Matar. We have a little bit different pshat. Geshem, you never find, at least what I've looked to, I haven't found anything, that you never find Matar in the possessive Mitrechem, as you find Gishmechem, your rains. You find Mitar Artzechem, the rains of your land, but not Mitrechem, your rains. Geshem is called Gishmechem, Vinasati Gishmechem Beitam. We have a power to be active in bringing Geshem. Geshem is where it materializes, what its source is, and if we're tzaddikim, it says tzaddikim are cause the Geshem to come. We are doing Torah and mitzvahs. The Torah says the Feirish. God gives the rain because of our Torah and mitzvahs. So, and there's in the Medrash that says tzaddikim also can bring rain through their tefillahs. So rain can be your rain, that you caused it. The cause of the rain is Geshem. The result of the rain is Matar. The result means that that at least is that it comes to the ground and it does what it's supposed to do. But that may not be because you caused it. That's because the Rabban Hashem caused it completely. And even if you don't deserve it, it's going to rain. And even for Rishayim it rains. Rains equally for Goyim, Yidden, Rishayim, everything's equal. Because the Rabban Hashem has Rachmanis on the animals, he has Rachmanis on the ground. So it's Matar Artzechem. At best, it's the rain of your land, because the land needs it, but not that it's your rain. Your rain is only, you cause the hisgashmus of that rain. But lemaisa, in the end, the result of the rain is whether you deserve it, you don't deserve it, the rains, what's it called, come because the Rabban Hashem wants to bring rain. Most it's in the schus of your land, Matar Artzechem. So basically the idea is the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an unfinished raw material world, right? The purpose is for us to finish it off and to refine it and to be mashlim it, to perfect it. It's an imperfect world that we're supposed to perfect. And we're supposed to perfect the world. Asher bara Elokim la'asos. Some of the mafarshim learn God created the world in an imperfect way, la'asos, that we should perfect it. We should finish it off. And that way we become partners with the Rabban Hashem. So we're supposed to finish off the world and make it more perfect. And in doing that, we make ourselves more perfect. So basically, a person is supposed to change himself from Adam into Ish. And he's also supposed to change Adama into Aretz. He's supposed to refine the Adama into Aretz. And he's supposed to refine himself from Adam to Ish. There's a danger with that, though. Because a person can get carried away with himself and think that Kochi votes him Yodi, Otsi Yasachai Zazeh. Right? I'm the big shot. I'm making myself. I'm making the world. So the Rabban Hashem put in a safety measure. In order to turn Adama into Aretz, and therefore for a person to feel he's a master over the world and he's changed himself from Adam into Ish, you need an ingredient that man does not control. That's rain. Rain. Because rain is one of the things that the Rabban Hashem holds for himself that he doesn't give over to any shliach. And even till today, no one scientifically can make rain. The most you can do is seed clouds, but they have to be clouds. You can't create the clouds. Right? If there's no clouds, there's nothing they can do to make rain. Once there's clouds, cloud seeding is very not effective, but it could work. So, but that's, you have to have the clouds first. So there's really no way that people can make rain, and also there's no cycle of rain. It's very unpredictable. Usually you can know that when the weatherman says it's going to rain, it's not, and when he says it's not, it's going to rain. But it's what's it called, very unpredictable. not something that you can plot out like there are other cycles in the world. There's no rain cycle. So it's very much in the hands of the Rabbanu Shalom. So a person knows that no matter what he does, what he thinks he's in control, he needs that ingredient of rain to change the Adama into Eretz, to cultivate it, and the Mela to cultivate himself. So the rain reminds a person of what's it called, of his limited ability to control things in this world. At the same time, the Rabbanu Shalom gave us the power to bring the rain spiritually. On the one hand, you know that you're not a the balabas. You can't physically bring it, but if you do things spiritually proper, you can bring the rain spiritually. So it could be your rains. So on the one hand, the Rabbanu Shalom wants us to be active, right? He wants us to be dynamic. He wants us to rule the world and to be dynamic in bringing things about in the world. But he wants us to remember that Lamaisa, we're doing it because he gave us the power to do it, not because we have the power on our own. So therefore, the rain has two things to it. One is to be Makar Tova, that people realize they need the rain and they can't create it. At the same time, God wants us to daven for it and be dynamic in bringing it. So both of those things are important. And that's the purpose of the rain. The purpose of the rain is that we should be Makar Tova and recognize that the Rabbanu Shalom is the source of the rain. At the same time, he chose to make us the conduit, if we're Zoche, to make that rain come. And it should be our rains. Gishmeichem be'itom, if we do things properly. So that's why when we mention Gvuros Gesham, we say, God, even the Geshem that we initiate through our tefillahs is your power. You just gave us the power to initiate that, but it's all coming from you. On the other hand, when we ask for rain, we say, Rabbanu Shalom, even if it's not going to be our rain, at least give us rain that's lemaisa matar, because better we should have rain than even if we can't produce it, but there should be rain. So we ask for the minimum. The same tala matar. At least give us matar. But when we mention Gvuras Gesham, we say, even the Geshem, which is our rain, is really yours. You, that's Gvuras Gesham, is the Rabbanu Shalom. That's another way of looking at it. So that, in Eretz Yisrael, it's even more dangerous. Here we have a really power. Here's where our main power in the world is. So here there's always a danger of Kochi Votsim Yadi, more than the rest of the world. So here the whole land depends on rainfall, not on any other irrigation. In order we should constantly remember that if it doesn't rain, we're off Tzaras. And we can't control the rain, so we know that we're not in control. We are dynamic, but we're not in control. That's the and therefore the person understands that, and he thinks about it when it rains, right? What rain represents? It represents the fact that on the one hand we have to be dynamic in this world, on the other hand it's the Chazde Hashem, that there's possible rain. God controls the world. Then it's equal to all the other things, Matan Torah and Kibbutz Golios and Trias HaMesim. All those things represent the same concept. So it's equal to all of them. It has in it all of those things. Okay, I think that's sufficient for. One other thing. It says that what prevents rain from coming? Lashon Hara. What's it called? Is a cause of Atziris Geshamim. Gili Arayas, Shvichas Domim, Avodah Zarah, Gezel, not giving Trumas and Maisus is also a kind of Gezel. Person who promises to give Tzedakah and doesn't give it in the end, and Bikkul Torah. Those are all causes of there being drought, not being rain, not having rain. Okay. Any questions on this?
Because this year is a Shemitah, isn't it lessening of the desire of the rain because you can't really use it?
No, just really, really want more rain because this way everything is Hefker and this way Aniyim will be able to benefit from it. That's why the Gabi Shemitah, there's a Shaila whether you're allowed to do the Malachas, the Rabbanan, that are Mutter, that what's it called? There shouldn't be a loss to the tree or the plant. What if there won't be any loss to the plant or the tree, but there'll be a loss to the fruit? So Rav Kook held that you can't do the malachas if it's only a question of the fruit, because the fruit's hefker anyway. What do you care about the fruit? The Chazon Ish shall know. Lemaisa, you personally may not need the fruit, But the fruit is supposed to be distributed to Klal Yisrael. So you should be concerned that Klal Yisrael should get the fruit, that the Aniyim should get the fruit. So you're allowed to do the malachas for the sake of the fruit, even though for all practical purposes the fruit's not yours, but Lamaisa, you should be concerned that it gets to Aniyim. So we should want a lot of rain, there should be a lot of fruit, and it should be distributed the proper way for what's it called, for people will get it, supposedly they're supposed to get it cheaper or free. Right, somehow the way it works out in the end doesn't work out like that, but that's what's supposed to be.
Huh? It's still the drink.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Okay.